Welcome to Hour 3 of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck here in studio in NYC with Clay, and we have been looking forward to this deep dive conversation into COVID, everything going on right now with the vaccines, the mandates, the masks, what works, what doesn't, what does the data tell us, with the one and only Alex Berenson. You've probably seen him on Fox, and you maybe have gotten Unreported Truths downloaded. I recommend you do so on Amazon before they decide you can't. You can also follow him on Substack, Alex Berenson on Substack. He is just a journalist who's been asking questions and gone against the consensus when the data told him to, and he is here with us now in studio in New York. Alex, great to see you.
It's a pleasure.
Clay and I have both been talking to you now about this issue for about 18 months.
Yes.
I mean, we're going on a long time. Can we start with this, actually? Because we have so much. We're gonna keep you, like I said, a deep dive so you can actually have time. It's not a four-minute TV hit, such as it is. Masks. You got a lot of heat in the beginning. It seems like now, finally, people understand that this is almost like a religious symbol for most folks. Is the data clear on this one? Before we get into vaccines, can we just get into, if they had good mask data, wouldn't we know about it?
Has anybody been alive the last 18 months? Didn't we all mask up for about 12 of those months, and the virus came and went and came and went and came and went? Masks are useless. They are useless. They're certainly useless to keep you from getting sick. And they are almost as certainly useless to you know, prevent you from transmitting the virus to other people.
Are there MDs that you know, can I just ask, who are now willing to say that at least to you offline?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And by the way, we're not talking about what they call respirators, again, N95s. N95s may be marginally useful. I'm not willing to, you know, be as definitive about that. But when you ask the CDC to present studies showing that masks work, that cloth or surgical masks work to, you know, protect their wearers from COVID, they don't have any because those studies don't exist.
Okay. This is important, I think, because so many kids are going back to school. My kids go back to school tomorrow. Alex, thanks for being in here in studio with us. Does it make any sense at all for kids in particular to be wearing masks in school, or is it madness?
No, it's madness. Okay. It's madness. First of all, they don't work. Second of all, kids are dirty little creatures who are like constantly touching them and taking them off and switching them with each other. And third, when kids get COVID, I mean, unless they're, you know, lightning strike unlucky, or they're really sick, they don't, I mean pre-existing, like
yes,
they have leukemia or some terrible condition, they don't get sick from COVID. Okay. At most, they, you know, they get a fever for a couple of days. They don't get sick.
And I want to say this. I'm a parent. I've got three young kids. You have how many kids?
Three kids.
Okay. So for people out there, you shared some data before Twitter banned you, suspended you, I guess I should say, for 7 days, which we'll get to in a minute. But we're talking to Alex Berenson. You shared some data from England about kids in particular and the impact that this great British study had shown COVID has on them. And the numbers were truly staggering, right?
Yeah. No, so I mean, there are two, actually, that Lancet published over the last year. One was from, I believe, last summer or fall. And they looked at, you know, they found six children who died in Britain from COVID. Three of the six were neonates with severe genetic abnormalities. And others, you know, like babies born just too sick to live. And I think the other three had terminal illness. And then there's an updated study from a month or two ago, where there were 61, I believe it was, updated people under 18, so children and teens who died in Britain. 36 of them, I think you could just say, were totally wrong. They were homicide or suicide or stuff
yes,
like that. And then of the others, there were only six who didn't have, you know, trisomies or other really severe genetic conditions who, you know, who'd be classified as healthy. So that's six out of 12 million in Britain.
I think that's just significant because so many parents are out there as it pertains to kids and COVID. That's a great study out of England that I don't think got enough attention.
Also want to ask you about the vaccine situation here, because right now with masks, I have more and more people on the left who are saying things like masks are really now just, they are a symbol.
That's right.
When we used to say they were a symbol, it was shut up, it's science. Now people will tell you, I've had leftists that are people I know or work with will say, it's really just about reminding everybody about all the things we have to do. It's reminding everybody that we all need to get vaxxed, all that kind of stuff,
yep,
right? So they've transitioned, because otherwise, if you look at the data, it doesn't. Okay, so we'll put masks aside for a second, but even though the amount of ferocity directed at people like you, me, Clay, for even questioning it, to me, was like a mass mental illness on display. But vaccines. What is going on right now? People look at the numbers, they look at the data, come to very different conclusions. And even people that I know, Alex, who have been really supportive of a lot of the work you've done, have complained to me and wanted me to ask you,
yes.
He's too critical. He does not show enough of the upside of the vaccines. How do you respond to that?
Okay, so vaccines are supposed to be permanent, right? That's sort of inherent in the name. They're supposed to last 10 years, 20 years, a lifetime. It is abundantly clear these vaccines don't meet that definition. Okay, they don't work like traditional vaccines. I'm talking about the mRNA and the J&J, which works differently, but as well, which is essentially the same idea as the mRNA vaccine. They don't work like traditional vaccines. They also, and we have now pretty good data on this, the first couple weeks after you get the first dose, you're actually more likely to get infected, it looks like. The clinical trial data didn't show that. It showed that there was no protective effect, but the real world data shows there's some increase in infectivity. Okay. Then it takes a couple more weeks. Then you get the second dose. After the second dose, it looks like you have this sort of happy valley. Okay. You get it. There's a couple of months where this thing really does seem to work and it provides protection. And you saw that in Israel. You saw it in the UK. You saw it sort of in American nursing home data. It's pretty clear. Okay. The problem is it doesn't last. And the last month in Israel, the data is horrific.
Yeah, tell us about this, because people believe that the thing we hear, right, and Clay and I are looking at this stuff every day from the news cycle perspective, you hear it's good at least 6 to 8 months is what they've been saying. That's what you know, the narrative has been.
Okay, so first of all, let's say it's good 6 to 8 months. How did that become something that we all have to take for the rest of our lives?
It's a great question.
And your point, sorry, but before we get to Israel, your point based on the data that you are seeing would suggest that instead of being a traditional vaccine like measles, mumps, and rubella, what you're effectively saying is this is more akin to a flu shot where you're going to have to get it every year forever, and it provides some measure of protection. But it's not the equivalent of, hey, you're never going to get chickenpox, for instance.
That's right. But it's also much more dangerous than a flu shot. I mean, anybody who looks at the data is going to agree to that. Okay, the side effects are off the charts compared to the flu shot. Even if you only talk about the myocarditis risk and the venous sinus thrombosis risk with the J&J vaccines, no 19-year-old dropped dead of venous sinus thrombosis after getting a flu shot. It does not happen, okay? So these are...
And that has happened?
Yes.
I mean, when you talk about myocarditis, what kind of numbers are we talking about? Because they'll say 160 million have gotten the shot in this country. I mean, if 50 people got myocarditis, no, they'll just, you know...
It's not like that. So again, we have better data out of Israel.
Sorry to cut you off, but explain that Israel data for people out there. What are you seeing? Because Israel's ahead of us in terms of vaccinating their people, for those listeners out there who may not be aware. What are you seeing from that data?
That's right. So the two countries that were more aggressive than the U.S., significantly more, were Israel and the U.K. And the data is cleaner out of Israel for a couple of reasons. First of all, the U.K. used a lot of AstraZeneca, which we don't use here. The U.K. also did this weird thing where they didn't go with the regular vaccine schedule. In other words, in the clinical trials, it was one dose and then a second dose, you know, 3 weeks later for Pfizer, 4 weeks later for Moderna. The UK didn't do that. They wanted to get as many people to have one dose as possible. In Israel, they only used Pfizer, which is the mRNA vaccine, you know, which more people in the US have gotten. And they did it on the, you know, we'll say correct. They did it on the correct schedule. So the data is more comparable to the US data. Second of all, Israel is relatively small. And they've been collecting data on a daily basis and releasing it, you know, since before the vaccine started. Okay. And they do it in a pretty transparent way. It's not as transparent as I would like, but it's pretty transparent. It is far, far more transparent and honest than the data we get in the U.S. So they're in front of us. As I said, they started before us. So Israel actually was saying that young men who are at the highest risk for myocarditis, appear to have about a 1 in 3,000 to 1 in 6,000 risk of clinically significant myocarditis. Now, that may not sound like that much, but those young men have essentially zero risk if they're healthy from COVID. And there's a second point. There's a point that does not get understood here, okay? It's not likely that one in 3,000 people is having myocarditis bad enough to go to the hospital and the other 2,999 are having nothing happen to them, okay? It is likely that a significant number of people are having changes in their heart function that are real but are not bad enough to send you to the hospital. And we don't know how many people that might be because the companies didn't do any work in the clinical trials that might help us with that.
Alex, we want to return to this with you in a second. And also, I want to pose to you and for everyone listening, just the narrative right now from the Biden administration on down is get the shot, you're fine, it's over. If you don't get the shot, you're a barbarian who basically, you know, you get what you deserve. I mean, yeah. It's very clear that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
I want to have you respond to that based on the data in just a moment when we come back and look at the truth of where we are in this fight against COVID. But, I mean, Mike Lindell just stands athwart cancel culture in a way that is honestly inspiring. This guy will not back down from anybody. Doesn't matter who comes at him from the left. And you know why? One, he's a patriot. He loves this country, but also he's got a fantastic company with amazing products that I use every single day. I'm talking about the Giza Dream sheets that I sleep on every night, the two MyPillows I've got on my bed, the MyPillow mattress topper, and the six-piece towel set that Mike has. Clay, best towels I've ever had, best towels you've ever had.
Fantastic deal right now. Two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths. Usually cost nearly $110 for a limited time. You get this entire set for the low price of $39.99 with the promo code CLAYANDBUCK, 60-day money-back guarantee. All you have to do to sign up today is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Specials to get this insanely low price of $39.99 on the towel set. You'll find deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. Enter promo code CLAYANDBUCK or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials.
Giving big tech a headache 24/7. Join us at Clay and Buck on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Welcome back in. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We have maybe the most dangerous man on Twitter in the studio with us right now, Alex Berenson. And by the way, the phone lines have been lit ever since Alex came in. We appreciate all the people who want to talk and get on with him. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do so that we can be as efficient with Alex's time and your time as possible. If you want to tag Buck Sexton or me at Clay Travis, at Buck Sexton right now on Twitter with any questions, we'll scroll through and make sure that we are trying to hit the things that you guys care about the most. I think there's going to be a lot of overlap in what Buck and I would ask that you guys would also be interested in, but we'll check Twitter rather than take any calls. Okay, Alex, I want to ask you this question. Right now, we are being told that if every single person in the entire United States got the COVID vaccine, that COVID would be over, that the people who are unvaccinated are the only reason why COVID still exists. Based on the data that you see in Israel and in England, is that true? And if not, what does the future look like right now?
No, I mean, that's demonstrably untrue. So in Israel, 95% of people over 80 are vaccinated, 90%+ of people over 60 are vaccinated, and 85% of people over 30 are vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Two doses, 2 weeks, fully vaccinated, okay? That is above the levels that we were told would need herd immunity. It is as close to full vaccination as you can reasonably hope for. The number of infections in Israel has increased more than tenfold in the last month. There are 3,000 to 4,000 a day. This is a country of 9 million people, okay? So you got to multiply that by 30 plus to get to a U.S. number. So that's over 100,000 infections a day the last few days, the equivalent. More concerning even than that is the number of people who are in critical care, seriously ill in Israel, has increased tenfold in the last month. To 250. So again, Israel had this period late April through mid-June when basically it looked like the epidemic was over there.
It looked like the vaccines were working flawlessly and it was going to vanish.
That is right. They dropped all the restrictions. You can find all the articles from all the people who criticized me talking about how great the situation was in Israel, how this was the future if you got everyone vaccinated. The vaccines don't last. It is just abundantly clear. The data in the UK is the same, although I mean, you know, it doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, but it's roughly the same.
So in this country right now, going back to the narrative that's all being jammed down our throats all the time by the generally Democrat-aligned corporate media, is that the only reason we still have COVID really is because of Delta being more efficient at spread and unvaccinated people. Sounds like you're telling us that even if they didn't have those bad unvaccinated, you're talking to two of them right now, those unvaccinated people out there, there would still be COVID. But is it then the situation that they don't want to be honest about that with the public because they want to get to 100% vaccination and then tell us there'll be boosters? Is that what we're heading for?
I mean, I can't guess at the motives. And I'll say this, okay? When you look at the Israeli data, there is one thing that they're sort of clinging to, this idea that vaccines still prevent or lower the risk of severe illness and death, okay? And it is clear, actually, right now from the Israeli data, that people who haven't been vaccinated are at higher risk of severe illness and death than those people who are vaccinated. Even though vaccinated people make up far more of the overall number who are severely ill, because that pool is so small of unvaccinated people, those people do appear to be at higher risk. But now I got to take it down one more level. The people who are unvaccinated in Israel, especially the older people, are probably people who, or many of them, are people who are too sick to be vaccinated to begin with, right? So if you're vaccinating 95% of people over 80, it's not like some 88-year-old saying, I don't want this thing. No, they're probably just too sick to get it. And that means that's probably why they seem to be at higher risk, or at least part of the reason. What I'm saying, you add it all up, okay? The country that did the best job with the mRNA vaccines has a serious crisis on its hands right now and is talking about going back into lockdown for the Jewish holidays in September. Okay, that is the fact. And however much they want to scream about Mississippi and Florida, which has a national average vaccination rate, by the way, however much they want to scream about people like me, they can't get around that fact.
It's so, never going away,
that's right?
That's the big takeaway
here
that I think
away.
Is significant.
Never.
And so this is going to be endemic for years and years to come, right? That's what people need to prepare.
Well, let me tell you one thing. It looks like if you get it and you recover from it,
which Buck and I both did, by the way,
you are very unlikely to get it again.
That's a shining light in terms of natural immunity.
That's right. Natural immunity appears significantly superior to vaccine-generated immunity. And there's good biological reasons to think that's the case, because your body reacts to the whole coronavirus. The vaccine only tells you about one small part of it. And if the virus changes in that part, your body's not going to recognize it.
Alex, we're going to come back in here in a second because I want to talk to you about T-cell immunity, but also we're here in New York City and there are vaccine mandates that they're about to put into effect. This is the tip of the spear of tyranny, unfortunately. I want to talk to you about what you think that's going to look like and where we go from here in just a moment. But who's watching your money these days? I mean, it's not your financial advisor. You know, he's on the beach having a Mai Tai, hanging out, because he doesn't really care. Your investments tank. He's still got plenty in the bank. Wall Street insiders predict that a correction could be just ahead. So it's your choice. I mean, you can listen to the same old excuses from your advisor, or you can take action today. Subscribe to Carnivore Trading. That's what I do. And see why their picks have become legendary. These guys are crushing it. Carnivore levels the playing field, delivering in real time what their experienced traders are thinking right now. That means all of us, from newbies to experienced traders on whatever platform you use to trade stocks, have access to their explosive trades. And for the first time, Carnivore is going to let you try their service for free. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time, totally free, no obligation. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. Carnivore Trading, real trading, real time. Past performance, no guarantee of future earnings. See website for guarantee terms and conditions.
On the EIB Network.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck here with Clay in NYC in our studio in Midtown Manhattan. And we promise you a deep dive with Alex Berenson, who some would say is the most controversial man out there when it comes to COVID, just because he doesn't go along with the so-called Fauciite consensus. And Clay and I have been following his work and talking to him now for 18 months. I'm going on quite a long time. Alex, Clay wants to establish a few things about how you're not anti-vax, and I want to get that. Can I just ask you, though, The people who say on the vaccines that you're wrong,
sure.
What do they say and why are they wrong? I mean, get to the criticisms first, because right now, as you know, there are people who just know they're supposed to oppose you. That's all they think
right.
about.
So you know, a couple months ago, they had an easier case, right? It was sort of like, well, look at Israel. There's no cases. Look at the UK. There's no cases. You know, back then, the argument was sort of about, look, there's all these side effects, which, by the way, we're not even talking about side effects anymore. We're just talking about whether this thing works at all. OK, so that idea that the vaccines are going to end the epidemic, that they are going to return life to normal by themselves, that's gone. I think Delta has ended that. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get back to normal. We can get back to normal whenever we want. There is no evidence that this thing is going to that COVID or any of the variants is going to cause health system collapse. That was the whole point 18 months ago, 15 days to flatten the curve, 15 days so that if you got in a car accident, there'd be a hospital bed for you. OK, the day the hospital ships left New York City, New York Harbor in April, you know, late March or no, I guess it was late April of last year, that argument should have ended. New York was the worst hit city, basically major city in the world. And it was, a terrible time. And Cuomo made bad decisions. And, it got worse because of the nursing homes. It got worse because they overventilated people. Nonetheless, the hospital system in New York City did not collapse. There were no mass graves. There were no, people being cared for in tents in Central Park. It didn't happen. This thing is not bad enough to destroy our society. Only we can do that to ourselves. Okay. And so this ends when we say it ends. It doesn't end because of vaccines. And the problem, and we were talking about this a little bit during the break, is there are so many people who've been so frightened because all they do is watch CNN. They have no idea who really gets very sick from this. They have no idea who really dies from it. They have no idea what the numbers really are. They've been lied to for 18 months. They were told the vaccines were going to save them and get us all back to the hot vax summer. Now that's been taken from them, and they are looking to blame somebody. They are looking to blame me. They should be blaming the people who told them the vaccines were the way out of this when that was never true.
Okay, I think this is significant, and thank you. We're talking to Alex Berenson in studio, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. You are not anti-vaccine, and I want to make this clear, because there is this idea that if you ask questions about the COVID vaccine, it means you question the legitimacy of all vaccines. That's different. You have young children. You just took your kids to go get their vaccine.
That's right. Well, I said this on Tiger last week, and I wasn't clear enough. People said, you got your daughter vaccinated against COVID? No, I got her vaccinated against MMR and, DTaP. That was her 2-year well-child visit. She got the shots. Let me tell you, she didn't like the shots.
Yes.
She got the shots, and now she doesn't have to worry about those things.
Ever again.
Basically ever again. And one of these people say, oh, measles vaccine fails. Yeah, after 25 years, if you're exposed to somebody with measles and, you're in the same room with them for an hour, okay? That's, if the COVID vaccine did that, sign me up, okay? Unfortunately, it doesn't do that. We went at warp speed, and I've said this on Twitter. Now, I can't say anything on Twitter because I'm banned.
I'm going to get to that in a sec.
You want it bad, you get it bad. We wanted this bad, and we got something that doesn't really work as promised.
How can we not know if boosters are? I mean, there'll be a news story that'll say booster getting approval, right. Booster here, booster there. Well, shouldn't that be a part? If we have a strategy to end this thing, or if we have a strategy to handle this, that the Biden administration's doing such a great job, which is what we were told. Shouldn't we already know, Alex, if you're going to need a booster shot for this? Do they kind of already know, but they just don't want to talk about it? What's going on with that?
So that's a fascinating question. If you look back at Moderna, and the companies have played this so brilliantly, they were talking about boosters back in January. So the companies were much, much smarter. I mean, they are smarter. They have more money. They're much smarter than the public health authorities. They have let the public health authorities do the hard work for them the whole time. And so, I mean, if you told people, yeah, guess what? You're going to be on a treadmill with this vaccine for the rest of your life. And by the way, we don't know what the side effects for a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh dose are going to look like. And by the way, we don't know how long immunity is going to last. Will it get shorter with each booster? Will it get longer with each booster? Who knows? And by the way, we don't even know that these vaccines actually reduce deaths. Okay, it's never been proven in a clinical trial. You can look at the real world data and say, yeah, it looks like they reduced deaths for a time. Again, for a time, But it has not been proven in a clinical trial that these reduce deaths.
How certain are we on the question of Delta variant versus vaccine failure as the cause of the surge right now? Is it just the unvaccinated are getting whacked with Delta all over the place?
No, again, my this is a really complicated, there's like immunology in this question. There's a very complicated technical questions here that are sort of above my pay grade. But smart people I talk to say it looks to them like it's not that the Delta variant is so much worse. It's that the vaccines just happen to be failing now.
The timing of it.
That's right.
Okay, so you are right now suspended from Twitter for 7 days.
Yes.
This is the first time you've been suspended during the 18 months.
No, I was so since the Biden administration had that press conference, since Jen Psaki, you know, put the list of 12 names or mentioned that list, which I don't think I was on, but since she said that, Twitter has been much, much harsher to me. So Twitter suspended me for 12 hours, suspended me for 12 hours again, and then last week they suspended me for a week. And they suspended me for a week for a tweet that did nothing but report the results of Pfizer's pivotal clinical trial about the vaccines. I pointed out correctly, no one has said my information is wrong because it's not, that 15 people who received the vaccine died and 14 people who received placebo died in that clinical trial. Not of COVID, of all causes.
Right.
Okay. So if you're hoping that the vaccine reduces all-cause mortality, that it actually prevents death, which is the whole point of all of this, I thought, you cannot find that data in that clinical trial. And that is the trial, that is the reason these vaccines got the emergency use authorization.
So what happens? Do you think that Twitter is going to ban you? And if they do, how would you tell people? Obviously, they're listening to you on the radio show right now, but how would you tell people to be able to consume what you put out?
So the best way to find me right now is on Substack. So again, this is it's sort of a new platform. It's called Substack. S-U-B-S-T-A-C-K. You just put my name in, Alex Berenson, and you know, you'll find me, alexberenson.substack.com. You can sign up for free. You know, almost 100,000 people have now signed up, mostly just in the last couple of weeks. People are clearly aware that I'm on very thin ice on Twitter. You can also pay. Basically, you're going to get the same content if you pay or if you don't. In fact, I've been frankly shocked how many people are willing to pay. They clearly, you know, they think that what I'm doing has some value. And so they're paying for what they can get mostly for free, which is
support your work.
Full disclosure,
right?
I pay for your Substack, so I'm sitting here as one of them. So there you go.
There you go. Well, thank you, Buck. So assuming Twitter lets me back on tomorrow, you know, I'm going to figure out what my options are because I'm not going to tweet with a sword, you know, hanging over my head. I'm going to tweet what I want to tweet, and I need to make sure that Twitter's aware of that, and you know, if they're not okay with that, then I guess I'll have to consider my legal options.
Another thing that we are told, and it's one of these, it's like you know, the hamster hitting the pedal to get the little pellet. You know what I mean? It's just, this is your response. It's supposed to be, if you get the shot, you're going to basically just be fine.
Yeah.
You know, even if you show up, because originally they did say that it was going to prevent transmission.
Right.
And now they've gone back on that.
That's right.
That is a fact. That is a reality. This data out of, what was it, Cape Cod,
yep,
at the big party,
yep,
and the Delta variant. And
yep,
now, okay, well, now you can get it. And in fact, there were headlines a few days ago saying that if you have a breakthrough infection, you are actually as likely to transmit it as somebody, which, again, seems like a complete moving of the goalposts on this. But it sounds like what you're telling us is that it's just not really provable. I mean, do you believe that it's not the case that for somebody that if you get the shot, whoever you are, whoever you may be, you're much less likely to end up in the hospital and or die from this, from COVID? Is that where we are now, pretty definitively based on the data?
No, that's a little bit of an overreach.
That's too much. Yes.
The really smart people who are not, you know, Fauci, who are not sort of like, you have to get the vaccine tomorrow, who look at the data, where they disagree with me is they would say it still looks like there's decent efficacy here against severe illness and death. And if you look at the clinical trial, what the clinical trial did show is that in this group of people, this group of relatively healthy people who they tested the vaccine on, there were fewer cases of what they called severe illness, which wasn't actually that severe. It was basically, for most people, having low oxygen. But, okay, that's good. There's two problems with that. One is, again, it's this problem of how long does it last? So you do have this period where you get some protection against infection and
just
everything
else. That's what I meant is if the vaccine fails,
That's right. So my position on this and what I said to them, to these smart people I talked to, is you're assuming that you can have partial failure and still have protection. And I don't see great evidence for that in the real world data.
So we'll come back. Clay, do you have something real quick?
No. I'm going to say we're going to come back. We're going to finish off the show. If you're just in your car, if you're just listening right now, I encourage you to go listen to this entire discussion. In the meantime, we got to save you some money.
Absolutely. A lot of homeowners don't understand the impact that a refinance can actually have on their lives. I mean, just think about this for a second. When you refinance using American Financing, you could save up to $1,000 a month. I mean, that's $12,000 a year. Think about what you could do with that money, the credit card debt you could pay down, you know, the down payment on a car, a boat, or just pay down. I mean, it's so important to save money these days, especially given the uncertainty in the economy. And you can do this just by using the right refi with American Financing. I mean, Clay, they'll lock you into a low rate, could save you up to $12,000 a year.
$12,000 a year. Think about how much difference $1,000 extra a month for you could be. It's an incredible low rate, some of the lowest in the history of this country. You need to find out if you're making the smart decision for you and your family. Call right now. Pull out your phone, 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109, or visit AmericanFinancing.net, American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
How's our driving? Call and let us know at 1-800-282-2882. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Alex Berenson's been in studio with us. Great discussion. If you're just hearing this part right now, I encourage you to go listen to the entire thing. You can check it out at clayandbuck.com. Buck and I, Alex, have been saying, hey, to our parents, you should go get the vaccine.
Yes.
If you're over 65 years old, you look at the data, the mortality is much higher for older people. Even with concerns about the vaccine, would you tell people 65 and over to get it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've said that all along. And, you know, I think, and my mother, you know, months ago asked me if she, or I mean, she told me she was going to get it. I said, oh, that's good. Go get it. You know, you're 70. Well, I'm not going to say how old she is, but yeah, she...
She doesn't look a day over 50, by the way.
Exactly.
Well, doesn't look a day over 50. She looks fantastic
Exactly. So anyway, yes. And even now with this, you know, with sort of the somewhat depressing data out of Israel, it still looks like the vaccines are a better bet than not for older people. And, you know, I've never been in this camp. You know, there's people 5G and graphene oxide, and this is a depopulation campaign. One of the reasons the Fauciites and, you know, my old employer, at the Times and all these people hate me so much is you can't dismiss me as a conspiracy nut, because I'm not a conspiracy
You're
nut.
You're looking at the data and allowing it to tell a story.
That's right.
One more question on the data here. We got a lot of this, people reaching out. Why do we not know how many people have natural immunity? Because there's a positive side here, which is natural immunity, like Buck and I have, because we both got COVID, seems to provide the best possible immunity going forward. Yet we don't know how many people actually have had COVID in the United States, because we have poor studies.
That's a great question. You know, in other countries, they know. Even in India. Okay, in India, they've done four.
Two-thirds, basically, of Indians have had COVID now, right?
That's right. And that's up from, you know, like 10% at this time
last year. And 92% in England have either had COVID or they've had the vaccine. We don't know those numbers in the United States.
That's right. And, you know, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that's one of those questions that doesn't have a good answer. Like, why haven't they told us how many people have gotten this and recovered? We should have been doing those studies. I mean, you can find tweets from me saying we need to do, it's called a serology study. We 18, again, 17 now months ago, back in April of 2020. And why we haven't done that, I don't know.
New York, back when they did it in June, I think it was of 2020, said that it was 20%. And that was now well over a year ago. And that was before the huge wave we had through the winter, where we had the all-time records hitting. So clearly there should be a greater interest in that. But I want to know what you think now. I mean, let's say we could get Alex Berenson to walk into the Biden Oval Office right now, and they would have to listen.
Yes.
They would have to hear you out. What do you think they should do right now?
I mean, it's completely clear what they should do. They should encourage the sort of rump of people who are at high risk and haven't been vaccinated to be vaccinated. That's, you know, that's some older people. And it's, you know, listen, if you're 400 pounds, probably, you know, although...
Because obesity is a big factor.
Oh, it's a huge factor.
And it hasn't been talked about that much.
Yes, that's exactly right. So you know, listen, Fauci was around for HIV. And in the 80s, the infectious disease specialist lied. They said, you know, you can get this if you're a heterosexual woman and you have sex with the wrong guy one time, you know, you can get this. They knew they were lying. They were afraid the disease would be stigmatized. And something like that is happening on a much broader level with much bigger consequences right now. So there's several things we should do. We should encourage those people who are not vaccinated to be vaccinated.
Who are at the high risk. That's right.
We should figure out what multiple doses mean and what they look like, because those people, it looks like, are going to need to be vaccinated
a third time and maybe more, maybe
that,
years.
Right.
Years
Why ago. Would you assume that the third dose is the one that fixes everything for them? Okay. The second thing they need to do is just turn down the fear. Drop the masks. They don't work. They don't do anything. Just let everybody live. Okay. 15 years ago, a really good paper about this by the guy who did more to eradicate smallpox than anyone else in the world said, get back to normal. Communities function better for when people have normal life. And three, get the schools open normally.
No masks on.
No nothing. We have punished our kids enough.
It's craziness. Alex, your Substack, people just go find it. Alex Berenson on Substack.
Yes.
Go to Substack.com.
Substack.com, put my name in, and hopefully Twitter won't ban me. If they do, you know what? If in the end...
Well, you come hang out with us.
There you go.
It's Clay, it's me, and it's a few million of our best friends.
There you go.
Come hang out with us anytime.
Thanks,
guys. We appreciate you so much spending an hour here with us in a deep dive. And I like that, Clay. I mean, we're going to get through it. We're going to be all right. It's going to be okay, everybody. You know, we're going to have to fight some of the crazies on some of this stuff. We will get back to normalcy.
We have to get back to normalcy, and we have to let the data drive us. And I appreciate Alex coming in and talking to all of us. This is one reason you and I wanted to take a show like this, because there's so few places where you can get honest discussion and truth in the world that we live in today. And I think, again, if you just heard part of that, I'd encourage you to go listen to all of it from Alex. We're going to keep giving people facts and letting them make rational decisions. I know it's wild. I know it's crazy.
Great show already tomorrow. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Clay's home state of Tennessee will be with us. We'll talk the border. We'll talk COVID and more. Be with you all then.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.